The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
One simple question. Are we already in a proxy war with Russia? Are we in a proxy war with Russia? And I say that because we've given about, we have given and we are giving about $1 billion with a B, billion dollars worth of military hardware to the Ukrainians, who are then using it to mow down Russian troops wherever they can, as well as planes and tanks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So are we in just a proxy war with Russia and American arms and the triggers being pulled by Ukrainian soldiers? Should we be involved militarily? Maybe as Senator Lindsey Graham mentioned recently, and he's not the only one, maybe we should just take Putin out. I mean, while Obama was the president, he whacked over 3,000 terrorists via drone strikes around the world over the course of his 8 years. So if it's good enough for Obama, shouldn't it be good enough for Joe, who served under Obama? So should we be whacking him? Should we, do we even have a, and set aside your Republican or Democrat view, set aside your American view, do we even have a biblical rationale for getting involved? Troops on the ground, boots on the ground, the via just war theory. So we're going to have a fascinating conversation. My good friend Bruce Ashford, Dr. Bruce Ashford, has been on the show many, many times in the past. Written many books, but two of them I would recommend to you, and especially if you have younger members of the family. One Nation Under God, which is a Christian Hope for America, American Politics, and then Letters to an American Christian, which was fascinating, a great read that came out back in 2018. And I'll put the link up for Amazon.com, but Bruce has also written for FoxNews.com and First Things Magazine. USA Today's been in there, Washington Times, Daily Caller, all kinds of other places. And Bruce and I have been friends for years, as well as a former member of my board. So I trust him and look to him for his knowledge and experience. Bruce Ashford, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
You know, it's good to be back on my favorite show. I'm on the one hand, I'm happy that you allowed me to be a guest. On the other hand, a little disappointed that you charged me 100 rubles to be a guest. I couldn't find any. There aren't any in the world. There's no rubles left, man.
I was going to say, there's probably not a big market for rubles anyway, but it's great to have you back, Bruce. Thanks for calling in and spending some time with us today. BruceAshford.net, by the way, because you're going to understand how smart Bruce is here just over the matter of a few minutes, and then you can go check out his blog post. A lot of great information there, plus his books. BruceAshford.net is the website. So let's start with your own, because you have some experience in that part of the world. You served over there in doing some mission work, some clandestine mission work, and I didn't know this until recently, Bruce, actually met the man himself.
Yeah, I lived in Russia from 98 to 2000 for about 2 years. And I tell you, Russia was fascinating for a boy from North Carolina. I had never been out of the country before.
Wow.
And, you know, it's sometimes 40 below zero in the winter, so there were some climate challenges. 40 below, man, your breath just freezes to your face.
Jeez.
You know, you can actually, little known fact, you can take a cup of coffee, and over there they only had Nescafe instant coffee at that time, and I could pour it out off the my fifth floor balcony in negative 40 weather, and the only thing that hit the ground would be ice chips and coffee grounds.
So, that's crazy.
You know, climate challenges. There were some culinary challenges. Food was overall great in Russia. I mean, I loved it. But there was that time for breakfast I got served a fish jello, and that was not positive. And then there was a time they served me, you ready? Drum roll, fermented mare's milk to drink.
Oh,
and an entrepreneur somewhere in Russia decided to milk a horse. And I think for me, that's the first problem. And then he bottled, sold it as a delicacy. But yeah, I met Putin. He was campaigning for president at the time. He had not become president, hadn't been elected yet. It was his first campaign, probably spring of 2000, if I remember correctly. He's a little guy. I just wanted to pat him on the head and tell him he's cute, but I decided not to do that and just had a 2-minute conversation with him.
And so what's your read, fast forward to today, and you know people are talking about he's dying of cancer, he's crazy, he's a madman. What's your read on Vladimir Putin?
Yeah, so if I start with the mood 20 years ago, the reason he was propelled to power is that the Russians are very embarrassed that Boris Yeltsin was a stumble-down drunk, and he was a weak leader. I can't tell you how many times I heard admiration for Bill Clinton being able to cheat on his wife and project power. And they wanted a powerful leader, and he does project power. I don't think anybody in Russia is surprised at all that he would go after Ukraine like this. He has, you know, Putin has given evidence for more than 20 years, for his entire life, of wanting to rebuild the former glory of Russia and also to build his own glory. And when you've got a guy who's obsessed with his own glory and his nation's glory, you've got an ideological fanatic.
Yeah, and so no, I don't think anybody was really surprised. Why do you think he chose now versus when Trump was in office? Because a lot of people, Bruce, have tried to make an issue of that.
You know, it's a good question. I think one answer that might, you know, unlock the key to it is that Trump could be, you know, unpredictable. You know, who knows what the guy's going to do.
Right.
And I think Putin also held out some hope that there would be some sort of enough of a detente between Russia and America that Russia could make some strategic gains. And so, you know, I don't know. It's a little more complex, but I will say that I don't think President Biden protects power very well.
No, not at all. And I think it's about to get a whole lot worse this week. He's heading over to Europe to go meet with emergency meeting with NATO. And then I think he's now planned a trip to he's going to make a stop in Poland. And so that's going to be about as effective as sending Kamala Harris over to that neck of the woods. That's just one embarrassment after another. Let's talk about, and we're going to hit the break here pretty quick, Bruce, but let's open up the can of worms on a couple of things real quick. Number one, just speaking ethically and from a Christian perspective, a lot of people are talking about just let's just take Putin out. And then the second thing is there just war justification for America putting boots on the ground at all? But let's start with killing Putin, just 15, 20 seconds, and then we'll follow up on the other side of the break.
Yeah, so, I mean, should Russians step up and assassinate Putin is one question, and the answer is, as a last resort, maybe they should. Should America step in and do that? When we come back from the break, I'll give a little more of a rationale here, but I think it would be unwise and detrimental to us in a number of different ways for us to be behind an assassination of Putin.
We're talking to Dr. Bruce Ashford. I'm going to put you on hold, Bruce. Talking to Dr. Bruce Ashford, prolific author, great commentator. He's written for Fox News and townhall.com and New York Times, all kinds of stuff. Been interviewed all over the place. A great mind. Plus, he lived in Russia for a couple of years. So we're going to keep talking about this from a Christian perspective when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. A little odd to hear little Bee Gees in the background while we're talking about Russia, 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 but that's the way we play things here on the show. We like curveballs, but today we're talking to our good friend, Dr. Bruce Ashford, who's a great author, a great Christian thinker, has also done some things with the War College. So when it comes to what we call just war theory in the world of Christian ethics, that's do we have a rationalization for going in? And then once you pass all of those tests, then once you're in a war, what kind of just war theory can you apply to the way you prosecute a war? It's a fascinating subject, so we're talking to Bruce about that today with respect to Russia and Ukraine. And first of all, talking about taking Putin out. Lindsey Graham didn't seem to have a problem with that the other day. He was definitely all for taking Putin out. Of course, I was mentioning, Bruce, before that our former President Obama took out over 3,000 suspected terrorists around the world, but they're not heads of nation states. They're not top military leaders. That was more aggressive by Trump when he took out Soleimani, who was obviously the head of the Iranian military. I think that was pretty obvious against a state itself. But when it comes to Putin, I think that seems like a totally different deal than what Obama was doing. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're correct. So as to whether or not the U.S. should be behind or backing an assassination of Putin, there's two reasons why I think we shouldn't. If the Russians want to do it, that's fine. As a last resort, sometimes you got to take out your political leader. But we shouldn't be involved. The first is to do so would be an act of warfare, and we can't justly enter the war at this point, and there's two reasons why we can't. One is there's very little probability for success. The United States would be very unwise and would never be able to devote as many troops as we need to defeat Russia. Russia would employ everything they had. We would have to sort of exhaust our capabilities and weaken ourselves on other fronts to enter the war. So very little probability that we could actually succeed. And then second, if we did succeed, the consequences, it looks like, would be disproportionately severe, probably a third world war and that sort of thing. And then the second reason is if the U.S. did that, we would violate international law. And we were behind the formulation of this international law that we nations refrain from assassinating each other's leaders. One reason is the person you've assassinated is the very person you're going to want to negotiate a surrender with. And if he's gone, you have no idea who's going to fill his place.
Right,
probably
right.
Not any better, you know. And so we're going to have to find a different way to punish Putin for his crimes. And we're in a really sticky wicket here because there are limits to what we can do. And yet we need to do absolutely everything we can do, waging economic warfare, cyber warfare, anything that would be wise that wouldn't bring disproportionately harmful effects to our citizens in such a way as to negate the reason for doing it in the first place.
Do you think that Vladimir Putin, we're talking to Dr. Bruce Ashford, BruceAshford.net, do you think that Putin would be justified if he just came out today and said, listen, I'm already at war with America because you've got $1 billion worth of hardware coming in here, shooting my guys and destroying my tanks. It's just Ukrainian soldiers that are pulling the trigger instead of your guys. But essentially, you're at war with Russia. Do you think he could be justified in saying that? I've been thinking that for weeks now, that he could easily make that case.
Well, I mean, I think he would, but he would be contradicting the last 20 years of his statements and every other statement. We've been waging proxy wars with each other since the Cold War ended. And the way that we've stopped short generally is that we've only provided economic assistance, like providing weapons to somebody is a form of economic assistance. And we've assisted with cyber warfare and psyops, psychological warfare, and that kind of thing. But to actually put our boots on the ground takes it to a whole other level, you know. I think Putin is not a principled man other than he wants to glorify himself and glorify Russia. So he'll make any argument he can that'll get what he wants.
Could you foresee any situation, Bruce, where American troops on the ground would actually be warranted, that we'd actually be able to fulfill a just war theory checklist, that we could go through those 7 or 8 questions?
Absolutely. I mean, if he were to attack one of the NATO alliance nations, we would be justified. Now, the gray area there is when he is attacking cities that are 10, 20, 30 miles from the border of Poland, for example, there's always a chance that a missile goes astray and that it's unintentional. And we would have to make a determination as to whether that was intentional, because the consequences would be severe for us and for Russia if we were to enter the war militarily. So that's my initial my initial thought, is that if they mess with NATO, that is the clearest red line that we've got to enter the war.
Right, because if NATO gets hit, if Poland were to get hit and we determine that that was on purpose, we're bound by that NATO treaty that we have to go in. It's kind of like what happened with Great Britain and Belgium versus Germany in World War I, when Germany decided to cut through Belgium to get to France. When they hit Belgium, we're like, oh, the Great Britain's like, oh, we already have a treaty with Belgium, so now we're in. And they weren't looking to get in, but they had to get in.
And, you know, there's something interesting and good that could come out of this horrible war. Not that we'd want the war, but developments in weapons and developments in capability and capacity usually are not planned in advance. They're usually triggered by historical occurrence. So, for example, the terrorist attacks of Osama bin Laden and others caused us to realize 20, 30 years ago that we're in a new area of asymmetrical warfare. We have non-state actors using dirty means to accomplish their ends. And so we adjusted our military capabilities until we are quite good at that kind of warfare right now, counterinsurgency warfare. What could happen out of this war is that European nations could start paying their own way on defense. Now, we didn't used to want them to. We were terrified at the thought of Germany getting weapons, you know, because of obvious reasons, World War II, World War I. But we're at a different place in history right now, and I think one of the things President Trump was right about I didn't like exactly the way he said it, but he was right, that NATO nations are going to have to start devoting a significant amount of their own budget to developing their own military. And we can provide them with weapons, we can provide with training, but they're going to have to put the dollars, or if you will, the whatever their currencies are, the different right. the Deutschmark and so forth.
Yeah, they got to put their money where their mouth is. With respect to something you've mentioned, I want to go into this more after the break, but kind of we're in the cyber warfare world now, as well as psychological operations. So let's unpack those two, because I want to make sure we all understand what's going on kind of behind the scenes that we may not be aware of. Pick whichever one you want. We'll start there, and then we'll hit the other one.
Okay. Well, we'll just start with, those two are related to one another. They're not the same thing, but they are related. We can start with cyber warfare. Cyber warfare is the use of electronic means to spy and to cause harm to our enemies. And so that could take the form of an attack on an electrical grid. That could take the form of hacking of state public websites, of political leaders' emails. Cyber warfare could include less invasive things. It could employ psychological ops. We'll talk about that a little bit later, which is waging an information war through social media and through traditional and non-traditional media outlets. But cyber warfare is a big deal now. It's rapid growth.
Yeah.
And you know, the terrifying thing is if China and Russia get together for a limited tactical partnership, they could do a lot of damage to us. Cyber warfare.
Yeah, from cyber warfare alone. We're talking to Dr. Bruce Ashford, bruceashford.net. We're going to keep talking about cyber warfare and then psychological operations. I also want to ask him, what does he think about Zelensky and Ukraine? What's going on over there in the country itself? We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Well, during Trump's campaign and then his 4 years as president, Russia, 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 right? So now we're right back into the same ballpark as we continue to talk about Russia regularly on this show and all over the place. There's no lack of it. Russia versus Ukraine, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Putin the madman, what's going on there? It's heartbreaking. The more time you spend studying it, looking at videos and pictures, it is heartbreaking. It's a horrific situation. But that by no means puts U.S. military boots on the ground there. We're supporting Ukraine, obviously, and President Zelensky. He made a heartfelt appeal, called out Biden personally last week when he had a live call with most members of Congress. So it's ratcheting up concerns about World War III. Is this going to go nuclear? And just the other day, it was reported that he used a new kind of missile, a hypersonic missile that travels at about 10 times the speed of sound. It's like a bunker buster. And they're saying now that they deployed that. And so there's all kinds of crazy things. Oxygen mixed fuel, oxygen fuel bombs. It's talking about him using that. These are all violations of international law. But it's Putin, right? So he doesn't give a rip about that. So what do you do with it? How do you pay attention? Is there any role for America? Talking to Dr. Bruce Ashford today. BruceAshford.net is the website. Great blog posts, not just things like this and international situations, but the culture, Christianity in general, theology. Bruce has been a professor and a leader and a thought leader in this world in many different ways over the last 15 years, and he's been a good friend and supporter of the show. We've been friends for a long time. And again, Bruce, thanks for taking the time to be with us today, my buddy. It's always good to have you on.
Great to be back on the show. More fun than a barrel of drunk monkeys.
No, that's good. So when it comes to cyber warfare, I mean, Russia was doing this stuff. Russian bots were setting up pro-Trump and pro-Hillary gatherings via Facebook in America back in 2016. So it's not like that's an unusual thing. Do you see it going in a different direction with this situation between Russia and Ukraine? And is it affecting us, cyber warfare? And then we'll talk about psychological operations.
Yeah, in terms of cyber warfare, I mean, Fox just published an article that I thought was very good a few minutes ago. You can go to foxnews.com and take a look at it, that there probably will be increasing cyber attacks on American corporations. Russia knows that probably the best way to hurt us is not necessarily to attack government sites, which are going to be more highly secure anyway, but to attack our businesses and crash our economy. He'd like to respond in kind and to cause us the same sort of economic pain that he's caused. We're doing it without warfare. We're just freezing his accounts and so forth. But he's going to probably do it by preying on private businessmen and corporations. And so I think we will have an increase in that sort of thing. We might see cyber warfare in the form of meddling in elections. I mean, that could certainly happen. Mitt Romney is not my favorite politician, but he was exactly right, you know, 10 or 12 years ago when he said that Russia is our most vicious opponent. They're not the Russian government, not the Russian people. The Russian people are amazing. But the Russian government is hell-bent for leather. Putin has said it a number of times. He thinks that it is inevitable for Russia and America to go to war.
Wow.
And so that is quite a statement. That means that he's not necessarily trying to avoid war. He just wants to make sure when there is a war, he wins it.
Do you think there's any legitimate concern when people start talking about nuclear weapons?
It's a possibility. You know, there's three different kinds of nuclear weapons. To give categories in terms of their purpose. There's strategic nuclear weapons, and these are enormously devastating weapons that are used against entire population centers, like were used in World War II.
Right, right.
I don't think there's any chance he would use those. Then you have theater-specific weapons, which are used against, you know, larger places where opponents are staging their troops or their munitions. And then you have tactical nukes, which are much more precise. Then another way of dividing between nuclear weapons is there's fission and fusion, and the former are a lot dirtier, and the radioactive material lasts a lot longer, and the latter are a lot less dirty, and they're more precision-based. I do think it is possible that he will use a tactical weapon, fusion weapon, that is less dirty and more strategic. He could do that. That could be a way of demoralizing the Ukrainian people and demonstrating his power, and he probably, you know, he may conjecture that the U.S. and Europe is too weak-willed to enter at that point, to enter the war.
Yeah, I mean, it's a frightening thought, to say the least. I mean, we've got about a little over 5,000 nuclear weapons. Like 1,400 of them are active, 2,300 are available, 1,800 are retired. He's got 1,500 warheads deployed right now on strategic long-range systems, and then this article I'm reading from, he's got almost 3,000 in reserve. I can't imagine he could use that and it wouldn't escalate. So that we absolutely need to be praying against that, because that's an escalation that we just can't comprehend. But when it comes to psychological operations, I want to follow up on that, Bruce. We're talking to Dr. Bruce Ashford, BruceAshford.net. What kind of things does psychological operations entail, and are we seeing that in this invasion of Ukraine by Russia, but we don't really know we're seeing it?
We are, and now psychological ops have been used for, you know, since the beginning of time, but they've really taken on enormously huge dimensions, you know, since World War II, and especially right now. So, psych ops are operations to change people's mindset, right? Mm. So if we were at war, then we would want to build the morale of the American people. We want to demoralize as much as possible the opposing government and troops. And so we would do anything we could to do that. We might want to use psych ops to communicate to the people of an enemy nation that they are not our enemy, only their government. So we've done that, for example, in Afghanistan and Iraq, you know, dropping literature down that just says, listen, we want to help set you free from this regime. I think psych ops now is combined with cyber warfare, and you'll see Russia, you know, hijacking Ukrainian state media accounts and broadcasting their own message to the Ukrainian people. You have no chance to win this war. The Russians are amazing. We're warm and fuzzy like teddy bears. We're all brothers and sisters anyway. We just want to set you free from your Jewish Nazi president. You know, just garbage, hot garbage like that. You'll see Russia lying to its own people, calling this a little military operation, trying to get rid of Nazis in Ukraine. And we're going to have to win the battle here. Optics matter in a world where information can spread instantaneously.
Yeah.
You know, through social media and other media websites. Psych ops is extraordinarily important, and it affects the economy. because whether or not people have confidence in the global economy, the economy of their nation, whether or not they have confidence in the face of an enemy, a lot of that comes by use of the strategic combination of cyber warfare and psychological ops.
Yeah, and the cyber attack reminds me of, remember the Colonial Pipeline. So you had the Colonial Pipeline that got shut down, which messed up supply of gasoline in America. And that was a serious deal. It's 5,500 miles of pipeline got hit by a ransomware attack. We don't know whether that came out of Russia or not. There's been a lot of talk that it has. But they do that kind of stuff. And like you said earlier, Bruce, to think that Putin doesn't want to hit back is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely going to hit back. We're just and we kind of know the categories that he's going to use. Cyber warfare, psych op, potentially a tactical nuclear strike. Probably not a tactical strike. Probably instead he'll just bomb non-combatants into submission, bombing hospitals and children's wards et cetera. But he will definitely strike back. So we are definitely involved in a conflict with Russia, and yet we haven't yet escalated to put boots on the ground.
Do you any feeling, Bruce, for you in terms of how this ends up?
Oh boy, it's always dangerous to try to be a prophet. Because,
yeah, I know.
History.
Don't worry, I won't track you down and stone you to death. I'm just looking for insight.
The safe thing to say, is that Putin and Russia will come away with a very bloodied face, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
Even if they were to somehow secure Kiev, this is going to be devastating, probably for Putin's career and for the Russian economy for maybe a decade or two to come. It is very possible that Ukraine gets the victory here. Putin's going to have to find a way to save face, right? This is about his glory, and he's going to have to find a way to save face. I don't know what the nations are going to come up with. Maybe it's the U.S. agreeing to have itself investigated for biological labs in Ukraine. Putin's going to have to come away with something and say, this is what I really want.
I got what I wanted. Now I can leave.
Yeah,
really amazing. Well, we'll keep in touch, Bruce, and let me know when you got any more insight on this you want to share, and then we'll look at, of course, other subjects and get you back on. But it's great to have you back on and kind of restart our radio relationship. So thanks for your intelligence and all your hard work and for your wisdom. We appreciate you, my brother.
Great to be on the show. Thank you, Steve.
All right, pal. Thank you. We'll talk again real soon. So many things to think about, so many things to pay attention to, but that's what we're going to keep doing here on the air. Money Monday update. We got a lot to talk about there. Holy cow. Fed rates are up. Negative effects. Sanctions will have on the dollar. More Russia stuff. Saudi Arabia. It's a mess. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Fascinating conversation with our good friend, Dr. Bruce Ashford. So much to consider there. But again, we always try to run everything through a Christian perspective. Okay, so we talk about the news of the day, but I'm going to do that anyway. I've been at this for a while. I'm well-trained. I have a master's degree in ethics, theology, and culture. So whenever I'm going through the news of the day or talking about financial issues or whatever, all that stuff's running through a biblical worldview. That's why I'm going to approach everything that way. Yes, I'm a conservative. Yes, I'm an American, but primarily I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ, and that's the way I try to think and try to live, although obviously all of us fall short in that arena. But when it comes to just kind of analyzing and having some discernment and some wisdom, it's got to be bathed in Scripture. You have to be thinking biblically so that you're not taken captive to the deceptive philosophies of this age, whether you want to look in Romans and talk about that, or we can look in Colossians and talk about that, but you have to be on your guard. And like I tell all my students every week, you're being sold all the time. Okay, so you have to be discerning. You need to pray for wisdom. Like in the book of James, if we lack it, we need to pray for it. We need wisdom and we need discernment. And that's why we're always happy once a week to have our good friend David Fisher on to help us with wisdom and discernment when it comes to what's going on in the markets and financial issues. Always challenging. LandmarkGold.com is the website, as always. LandmarkGold.com. David, how are you?
I'm doing great. You just set up the scripture completely perfect, my brother, what we're going to talk about today. And yeah, I know you don't know exactly what we're going to talk about, so this is an exciting thing, how the Holy Spirit works.
Yes, he's pretty good at his job, I would say.
Let's just yield to him always.
Yes, amen. I'm right there with you. Okay, we always start on our Money Monday updates with David, where we should start, which is in the Word of God. So let's go there first.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." You know, I saw a T-shirt the other day that said, "Normal isn't coming back. Jesus is."
Oh, that's a good one.
And, you know, reminded me about the big dichotomy, the opposite of God's economy versus how humans perceive economy and life in general. You know, the kingdom of heaven and its principles are completely opposite of the kingdom of this world.
Yeah.
You know, and think about this. In biblical days back then, and even today, kings didn't ride in on a donkey, but the King of Kings did. Mm-hmm. The first shall be made last, the scripture says, and the last shall be made first. To be strong, we must be weak, and God humbles the proud and gives grace to the humble.
Yeah.
To save your life, you must lose your life. So the Lord has chosen weak things of this world to confound the things which we might call mighty. And it is also happening financially, not just spiritually. The government and the Fed is doing things to try and get the dollar to be used, and it's actually causing the dollar to be used less.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so confusing, which is why, you know, when the world thinks it's wise, but it's the Bible also tells us, David, that spiritual truths are spiritually discerned, so you have to have the Holy Spirit in order to know true wisdom and to be able to see things through the true filter of God's Word. And that's why I mentioned that earlier, and that's what I love about passages like this, is it reminds us that when you feel stupid, if you know the Word of God well, then you're not stupid. You're equipped. You're ready. But we still need to pray for wisdom, biblical wisdom, that is. And we definitely need discernment. So thank you for that. That's such a great application of that passage, and it's always such a blessing every week when we get together. All right, well, you mentioned the Fed. So the Feds did several things. They hiked rates. They implemented sanctions, which sounds to me always like they're playing with fire. So help us understand that.
Yeah, like TJ says, the Fed is the fire department and the arsonist.
Yes, great.
Love that saying, TJ.
Yeah.
So the Fed did announce a 25 basis rate increase last week, Thursday. And they also said that they might have imposed bigger rate increases, as much as 50% rate hikes. They're going to do this 25% rate hike every meeting for the remainder of the year. James Bullard, St. Louis Fed president, said that's not enough. We need to have 50 rate hikes every meeting, which would put us at 2.75. But the Fed may spark a next leg lower in the volatility of the market. They could actually, usually rates cause markets to go lower, but last Friday we had a spike in the day. Maybe that's because the rates were already factored in, but today the market is lower. But now there's talk of recession fears. Maybe another article saying maybe we're already here. Inflation is much bigger than the Fed even anticipates, and Bill Gross, famous bond trader before, said that now rate hikes are going to happen. It could crack the economy. And so who knows what's going to happen with that, but I think it's not going to be a positive thing for the most part. It's certainly going to affect real estate. He also said that in a negative way. But the Fed also did something. They implemented mandates of sanctions upon Russia and countries related to doing business with Russia. That's not one of the Fed mandates, although the government said we must do this. And I'm, by the way, on a side note, I totally support that. But
yeah,
the Fed, my point is this. The Fed is acting outside of their mandate, because their mandate is to control interest rates, to control employment, price stability, those things, not to put sanctions on countries. And as a result of this, we're going to see some negative things, because nowhere in the mandate it says it gives the power to, you know, confiscate foreign reserves. And if you were a foreign country and you saw this done in Russia, other countries are going to think twice about holding U.S. treasuries. I think that's already in question, and there's some articles out there saying that this could be the start of a global currency crisis. So just be careful that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, Einstein said, and we're going to see some of that.
Are these going to actually work on Russia anyway? Can they go around that? And as they go around that, is there any way that Russia's activities could affect us financially, like us regular Americans?
Well, Russia already started going around it last Thursday. Their foreign minister, Sergey Lavrov, said that we will solve this problem, and the solution is to be no longer dependent upon our Western partners, in other words, the dollar. He said, quote, we will make sure that we never again find ourselves in a similar situation, and neither with some Uncle Sam or anybody else that wants to make decisions aimed at destroying our economy. We will find a way to eliminate this dependence. We should have done this a long time ago. So, yeah, they're already working at this. They've been tying ties with China. China's working with them. We'll get into that in a second. So it's already in place. It's just we put the nitroglycerin in the car, and we're now moving at fast speed is what Russia's doing.
Yeah, and so China, which is kind of minding their P's and Q's publicly with what they're saying about Russia, but they're not being subtle at all when it comes to their talking to Saudi Arabia about let's dump the dollar as the U.S. reserve currency and let's start dealing with the Chinese yuan. So what's going on there?
So China buys about 25% of Saudi oil. We buy 12% of Saudi oil. And the Saudi oil since 1973 has been dollar denominated. It's called the petrodollar. We've been talking about this before. And 6 years ago, China for the first time said, let's buy and sell oil in yuan, not dollars. And just last week, China met with Saudi Arabia, and now in discussions, this came out in the Wall Street Journal, so this is mainstream media saying this, they're in discussions of implementing a mass system, and this is going to be done through the EU, which is the Eurasian Economic Union, which includes China, Russia, Kazakhstan, about 17 countries, we'll just call it for time reason. And they're going to want to sell, buy and sell oil in not dollars, but in yuan. Russia supports this. All these countries are supporting this. And now they're moving, they met on Friday, and they're moving forward on this agreement to design a mechanism to become independent of the financial monetary system based around the dollar.
So what does that, most of us are sitting there going, so what? So they're not using dollars. Why does that matter?
Okay, so two reasons. One, if the Fed is not buying dollars anymore, which they announced last week, and the Fed is selling $9.3 trillion, which they announced last week, who's going to buy all those dollars, and who's going to support all this overspending? How does that affect us? It means lower dollar value, and it means higher interest rates, which means it's tough for economies, tough for the average citizen, and this could also trigger, if the world doesn't want to buy dollars, this could trigger the bail-in, because the dollar and the bail-in is all about owning treasuries. So if the world doesn't want to own it, that's where this gets forced into place. So we're a lot sooner on this thing than I ever thought of.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's so frightening to think about it. Obviously, I'm not talking about fear. That would be a violation of what the scriptures call us to, but I'm talking about just the ramifications of what would be going on. So as a result, what's going on in the gold market? Because you look at, like, the other day when crude oil was pushing down to 100, well, now it's back up to $112.49. It's up $7 today. Gold's up $5.80 today. And so people are going, oh, we'll get some relief at the pump. I'm like, well, this story isn't over yet. So what's going on with gold?
Yeah, relief at the pump's not going to happen for a while. Gold, on the forefront of gold, there's three waves happening. The first wave is the retail purchasing through what you call ETFs, electronic traded funds, not physical gold, but buying gold 600 tons. The second was central banks increased 750 tons, and physical gold is just off the charts. That's why we're going to see high prices in gold this year.
Yeah, so when central banks and billionaire hedge fund owner managers and all these folks are buying gold, that should probably tell us all something. If people want to get more information, they want to get educated, David, what do they do?
Give us a call, 844-604-2575, or go to landmarkgold.com.
Excellent, David. I always appreciate your analysis and your wisdom. God bless you, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
God bless you, my brother.
All right, pal. We'll talk again real soon. Always great to hear from David. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. So much going on. We'll be back to talk about the world from a Christian perspective tomorrow. God willing, I'll talk to you then. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.